The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's always easy to stand up tall and say, this is something we should do. College athletes should get paid for their name, image, and likeness. And you wouldn't be wrong. But it's hard to ask what comes next. What's the trickle-down effect? What comes out of Pandora's box? Are you 100% sure it's all good? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Joining us now to answer that question and more is Indy Star columnist Greg Doyle. Greg, let's start with this, man. Are you excited about Phillip Rivers? I mean, you got to be, right?
Yeah, Will, I am. Mainly because I covered him at NC State all 3 years. I was there the first game. I mean, he was this guy that Alabama and Auburn wanted to play tight end. And NC State said, "Now you can throw the ball for us." And so he comes out there and he's throwing the ball really weird, like Dan Marino, only there's only one Marino, so it can't be that good, can he? And, you know, 20 years later, he is who he is. So, yeah, and plus he says golly and gee and gosh darn a whole lot. I like a kid like that. I still call him a kid because he's a kid when I met him. He's almost as old as I am, for God's sake, and I'm old.
How old is he? What is Rivers now, 37, 36, 37?
I think he's 38 or 39. He's up there. You know, everybody likes to have fun with this, that he's got nine kids. I mean, I don't like to have fun with it, but just people know that about Rivers. He's willing to have number 10, 11, and 12. He's not done. Like, people kind of talk about, like, wow, can you believe the guy had nine kids? I'm not saying he's done. He's 37. He said he's not probably done.
I will tell you this. I am jealous of that. I truly am. Like, I got started a little bit late having kids, and so I have two, and to this day I tell my wife, I just wish we had more. Like, I don't know. I'd have been happy to have a ton of kids. I think it's big family. Great. Go for it, Phillip. But wait, back to football really quick with Greg Doyle of the Indy Star here. So what do you do after Phillip? Because you have to already start planning for that. Like, this is a year or two project, most likely, with Phillip in Indianapolis to help maximize a title window, but you also have to have a succession plan. I doubt now that that's Jacoby Brissett, right? So what is the next guy after Phillip?
Yeah, it's Jacoby minus the letter Y. It's Jacob Eason for now. I mean, they took a flyer on Eason out of Washington in the fourth round. And the thing about Eason is that if he doesn't make it, and you know, most people kind of think he probably won't make it, and you invest a fourth-round pick in a quarterback, you're not really banking your future on the guy making it. So if he doesn't make it, it's really very little lost. You lost a fourth-round pick, okay, boo-hoo. But if he does make it, he could make it big. I mean, the guy's got – he's got one of the five strongest arms on the planet, I mean, just right now. So if they could just teach him how to play the game a little bit, they might have something special. But having said that, Rivers will be here minimum 2 years, and wouldn't surprise him if it's three or four. So there's really no rush, and they're clearly in no rush. I like their situation right now. Jacoby Brissett is a really nice backup. And somebody will give him a chance to start someday. It just won't be here, I don't think.
Greg Doyle of Indy Star here on the Will Cain Show. He's exactly right. The fourth-round pick on Jacob Eason is the perfect kind of flyer to put out there on a future potential starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. All right, you have a column up, and you've talked about, here we are. The NCAA has proceeded on the path to allow athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness. But you have already started to explore, like, this is complicated as it starts to play out, not just in the marketplace, but in team dynamics as well.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The legacy of Ed O'Bannon, Ed O'Bannon's the guy that sued the NCAA over the EA Sports game about 6 years ago and really got the ball rolling. I mean, that started where we are right now. Ed O'Bannon's legacy, and it won't be long, 20 years from now, is going to be he's the guy that destroyed college sports. And I don't mean that in a mean way. He's right. All these guys are right. They deserve to make money off their name, image, and likeness, capitalism, free market, whatever. They're all right. They deserve it. But you can't have both. You can't have college sports. You can't have boosters, hopefully not cheating, and then boosters being able to put money into guys' pockets legally. They'll find a way to do it illegally. This is going to kill college sports. It's going to take a few years, probably 10, But my suspicion is, and Lord knows I don't have any facts. I don't have, I can't tell you here's why. I'm just telling you, 10 years from now, you wonder about unintended consequences. 10 years from now, sports as we know it, college sports is over.
So let's explore how, though. I know you said you can't tell us how. I've done this topic on the Will Cain Show. It's a very unpopular thing to say, by the way, because the way that the world works is you say something simplistic that everybody can agree with, and you get slaps and pats on the back. But if you go, wait, this is going to have, as you pointed out, some unintended consequences, well, you're the devil for even questioning this, undeniable good. That's how it works. But I've said, you're exactly right. What can happen now is boosters or quote-unquote advertisers can sign endorsement deals with guys that are totally divorced what their marketplace value is as recruiting mechanisms to get them to school. That's just one thing I see that could happen very easily. What are you talking about could help destroy college athletics?
Well, yeah, that's one for sure, is that a high school kid's being looked at by, let's say, Washington and Washington State. And Washington is in Seattle with 3 million people, and Washington State's in Pullman with 30,000, and some big booster in Seattle that owns a cow company or owns a steakhouse or a car or whatever, he whispers to the kid's parents, hey, if your kid, if Johnny Football comes and plays for UW, he's got a $50,000, deal with me. And at that point, it'll be legal going, when the kid signs with Washington and then signs that endorsement contract. But it's not legal to tell that to a high school kid. So that's going to happen. I mean, that's obviously going to happen. It's going to be all kinds of stuff. It's going to be stuff that we don't even know, but it's even little things. The little thing's going to be big, the dynamic of a team, right? Like right now, coaches and players don't always get along. That's why there's transfers, and the coaches have the ultimate say because they make the money and all that. But what happens when a coach is sort of on the hot seat, sort of? He knows he's got to win this year, next year he's gone, and he brings in a McDonald's All-American, and that kid has an attitude. And, well, who do you answer to? Because that kid all of a sudden is making as much money as you are from the local McDonald's. So it's going to go badly. Let me just say one thing about unintended consequences. If you remember, people might remember this, 15 or so years ago, NCAA made a really nice rule, the 8-5 rule. They were tired of people like Tim Floyd. It really was Tim Floyd started this, but a lot of coaches were doing this. They were over-recruiting, signing as many guys as they could in basketball, and then running off the worst ones. And so the NCAA passed an 8-5 rule. You can only sign 8 guys in 2 years, no more than 5 in 1 year. A great idea with a big heart for kids, and it backfired because what happens is, one school would have like 2 guys transfer, 1 guy get hurt, 1 guy goes to the NBA, and all of a sudden they got to get football players to fill the roster out. Unintended consequences of even good things, you can't tell. This one, we can see the consequences coming from a mile away, and it's the ones we don't even know about yet. They're going to come. They're going to destroy this thing. It's a meteor. I mean, the name
even
of
talks
the
about teammates,
issue is
right?
A meteor.
You even talked about teammates and envy between teammates and who's getting the deals and the Instagram endorsements. And that, like, this is going to cause team dynamic issues that we can't even anticipate.
Oh, can you imagine? Like, yeah, if UW has 2 15-point scorers and one of them gets the really sweet endorsement deal and one of them doesn't, what problem does that cause in the locker room? Because these are kids. These are not adults. I mean, they're almost adults, but my kids are 24 and 22. They're not adults, not really. This is just going to split things apart. It just is. And you're right what you said earlier, that folks, they want to hear easy stuff. They want it to be simple. They don't want to think too hard. Damn it, Will, don't make me think. Just tell me how good everything is, and this virus will be over in a couple weeks because we're great. No. We're going to think. We're going to go gray, and gray's tough, but gray's where the big boys live.
Greg Doyle of the Indy Star here on the Will Cain Show. There's one more point I wanted to make on that teammate dynamic. But here's the rebuttal. Okay, I can't think of what I want to say there, but here's the rebuttal. I know because I've heard it. Okay, and
yep.
You might be right that it tears down college sports, but it's broken anyway. That's what everybody would say. They're already cheating. Boosters are already pulling guys with under-the-table payments. It's already a broken system in college basketball specifically. So how can this make it worse?
Well, it can make it worse because right now there's kind of plausible deniability. You can go to the arena and say, well, that's not our school. Yeah, it's their school. The FBI indicted guys from their school. That's not us. And there are 5 or 6 schools that, yes, sorry, it is you. But the rest of us can say, that's not us. It's not that rampant. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be – money's going to be everywhere. And money causes problems. It just does, especially at that young age. All it's going to do is cause problems. And, again, I think they're worth it. I think they deserve it. I think the quarterback of Alabama deserves whatever he can get. I'm not saying these guys, their scholarship ought to be enough. It's not enough, not anymore. I'm just saying sometimes you get what you want, what you think is fair, and we can't handle it. And I'm just telling you, we're not going to be able to handle this. And I can't lay out the number of ways it's going to blow up on us. But, the year 2025, college sports as we know it, it'll be dead. It'll be gone.
I think your instinct is right. I mean, I don't think you have to be able to lay it all out. You just have to acknowledge that you don't know what's going to happen in the future, but it's all going to probably lead to this place of professionalization of college sports, the end of amateur sports. I know what I was thinking about is if it's all coming through, I've read all these studies, it's going to come through social media and Instagram and these kind of things. I mean, we already have our kids paying so much attention to what's going on social media. Now the incentive is going to be totally to build online presences as much as it's going to be to build on-court presences. You know, I mean, I'm getting paid for this. Now I definitely should be doing this.
Yeah, it used to be that kids would, whoever you are in college is kept under wraps because the coach has you under his thumb because you're just getting scholarship and that's it. And the coach makes $6 million. And then it takes the NBA for, I mean, this is a different era, but for Dennis Rodman to become Dennis Rodman, you can only have that freedom in the NBA. Well, they're going to start chasing that stuff now, and yeah, it's just dreadful. It's just going to. I love college sports, and I like pro sports, but I love the college. How every game matters. These kids are just here for one reason only. And not anymore. This thing is going to become way too pro-like, and all pro sports does is ruin it.
All right, it's Greg Doyle of the Indy Star. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Doyle Star. I always appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks, Greg.
Always appreciate the invitation. Thanks, Will.
Okay, take care. I've said before that I believe Jameis Winston, as he said, is going to a graduate school for quarterback play. That means he reemerges in 2021 with an increased market value. Where? Who will be looking for quarterbacks next year? How many will turn to Jameis? That's next on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
I have praised Jameis Winston for going to the Harvard Graduate School for quarterback play. I have praised Jameis Winston for taking less money this year to cash in next year as a franchise quarterback. But what will that marketplace look like? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. As Jordan's fame peaked to unparalleled levels in the early 90s with consecutive NBA titles and a starring role on the Olympic Dream Team, his image as Air Jordan made him a profound cultural figure. Yet with extraordinary fame came extraordinary scrutiny. And in 93, it all came to a head with the Bulls' pursuit of a third straight title shadowed by questions about Jordan's gambling. Episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance premiere this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Eric from Tennessee, what's up, man?
Yeah, well, Ken, I just wanted to say big fan of yours. You're great at doing your interviews, man, but the doom and gloom for the college players getting paid, I don't get it. I see extreme exaggeration to the point where it's almost fear-mongering. The idea that, like, let me ask you this, Will Cain. You're a Dallas Cowboys fan. How many Dallas Cowboys that are on an active roster have very lucrative local contracts with advertisers? How many of them?
Probably
a small few.
Yeah, probably
right?
Half a dozen.
Not the whole team.
Half a dozen, probably.
Yeah, probably half a dozen. Okay, so what makes people think that there's that much money in these college areas? And we're finding out now that there's probably not that much money, but how much money do you think these players are actually going to make from their endorsement?
I did that. So when did you start listening? Just a few, like an hour ago or less than that, maybe?
No. I've been listening. I counted. No, I'm talking about the interview that you gave to the gentleman that you and the gentleman had earlier.
No, not I know. I know. I'm talking about today. When did you turn on your radio and start listening today? I'm just curious. How long ago?
Probably the last 30, 45 minutes.
Okay, so hang with me, okay? So in the first hour of the show, I laid this out, Eric, okay? There are several studies out right now that put an estimation on how much college athletes could make through name, image, and likeness. Now, like you, I was a little bit skeptical. I was like, okay, it's a half a dozen, but we're only looking at it through one prism, and that's who's going to get the Wingstop endorsement in Pullman, Washington, right? But that's not it. Two different studies out right now show the vast majority of endorsement money is going to come through social media. It's going to come through Instagram. And it showed that last year, I believe Trevor Lawrence could have made around I think Trevor Lawrence was $700,000. Tua was around $400,000. And Jalen Hurts was around $300,000 in social media. Now, you say to me, well, those are the most famous dudes. That's the biggest. What about the rest? And they took, for example, a sophomore cornerback at USC. I think, Nuno, you had his name was Isaiah something Taylor, right?
Stewart, I think it was.
Yes. And it essentially said for a player like that, again, now a sophomore cornerback, right? Nobody knows who he is. I believe the estimation was that he could make somewhere around $17,000 next year. So all I'm doing there is telling you there are studies that suggest there is some estimation of how much money they can make. Before I go back to you, Eric, I'll say I agree it shouldn't all be doom and gloom. But what I think that, for example, Greg Doyle from the Indianapolis Star I was just talking about this with was saying is we just – on the other hand, don't paint it as a universal, obvious good. We do not know how this plays out. We do not know. I think it's fair to say this is a righteous decision. I mean, it's the right thing to do. But we don't know what the long-term effect on college sports is, and that may end up, it may end up being a big negative, Eric.
All right, I understand that. But to what the gentleman was saying earlier, what he was saying was if you have businesses, big businesses that are going to offer players money in order to go to the school, but, you know, you subterfuge in order to say it's an endorsement. The way you prevent that is you prevent them from signing any deals until they actually go to the school, and the eligibility has to be directly tied to them playing. Now, as far as the social media thing.
Hold on. I like that. You're problem solving here. Hold on. I like that. What about this? Okay. The idea is you're going to get an endorsement deal that isn't commensurate with what you would really get in the marketplace, right? We're going to do that because we want you to come to our school. What if we say, okay, you can't sign this until after you sign with Washington State, but I promise you, once you do, 4 months in, I've got a sweet gig for you. So I satisfied your rule by just delaying the contract signing. How about that?
No, but this is what you, but it also has to be directly tied to the person playing. And you know what you do? You have the players sign something saying, I'm not coming here on the impression I'm going to be offered anything. Because what happens is, if you tie that to directly playing, and you tell a player you can make $300,000 after you play, or you make $350,000 before you start playing, but you might lose your eligibility and not play at all, if you tie directly to playing, then you show players that, hey, you probably don't want to take that chance because there's a big chance that you're going to get caught, right? And now as far as the other thing, the influencer, that could be directly tied to their play, but that's more like an Instagram, hey, pay me $400,000 to post your super secret protein shake or something like that. Again, that's not directly tied to the school itself. That's not directly tied to boosters, unless you're implying that some boosters are going to go ahead and click on that person's link and just buy all of the product that they're advertising. There's
okay,
ways
hold on,
to control
Eric.
It, Lil Kane, and that's the I'm listening.
I like how you use both my names. Don't go anywhere. Hold on. Go ahead, Nuno. You have something.
So my question is, and if you read a lot of this, a lot of it's going to come down to what the schools allow in terms of, you know, does it meet their mission statement, that type of thing. But, like, what happens if, I'll say, University of Miami, where they're kind of like, hey, you can come down here and advertise pretty much anything, where then but Wisconsin is like, nope, like, it only is this set of things. Like, isn't that where this can become dangerous?
Where schools set different sort of...
Correct, of what they allow their athletes, what companies they allow them to work with, what local establishments, like that type of thing.
Will schools have the right to limit this stuff
under
this new rule?
Yes, if you really look into it like and read it, it seems like this will all have to be done part of what like the school kind of allows. So that's how okay. The NCAA gets away with, hey, yeah, we're allowing players to make money, but the schools will end up having part of this decision.
Let me go back to Eric. Eric, one thing I don't get what you're saying, though, is why do you want to tie it to playing? Like, theoretically, a guy's fame and endorsement value, it could be independent of his play time. So why are you only going to reward somebody that's getting playing time?
Well, because the reason you tie it to play time, Kane, is because that way you can kind of weed out the fact that the player might be being paid, again, that the advertisement and the endorsement deal is subterfuge, right? You kind of eliminate that. Because you're directly tied to it, yes, you have to play in order to get it. And it alerts it alerts the player that if you agree to pay this money to some and you agree to, you know, take this money from someone before you actually come to this school, you're subject to not playing. But also, if you're, and it actually makes it more, it actually makes it more likely that the endorsement would be legitimate, because let's say you're a five-star recruit, but you're a bust. You're not going to get that endorsement, and that guy would not have wasted his money to bring it to that school. But if you are a great player, then if you're a businessman or you're a businesswoman and you own a car dealership, you want that person on there. You want that five-star recruit that's doing great come sign an autograph. You want that person wearing, I don't know, what do car dealerships do? Whatever it is they advertise the car dealership, you want that man's name attached to your business. So if you have to tie it to time and to playing, then it makes it more likely that it's a legitimate endorsement deal, and again, not subterfuge and paying the player in order to come to the school. So you kind of eliminate that.
All right, I got it. It's because I got to think about this, Eric. I almost, as I'm thinking, I'm like, well, if you tie it to playing time, that's a direct pay to play. That's totally not name, image, and likeness. That's actually pay to play for your play. You know, I don't think it solves the problem of a recruiter, a booster saying, come here. Just because you play doesn't mean it's not under the table payments to come play somewhere. I don't know. I got to think about that. You threw a lot at me and you said my name with both my first and my last name like five times, which was like a trick I think you were doing to really like throw me off kilter. And it worked. It worked. So I'm going to think about that. Plus, how many teams out there will be in the market for Jameis Winston next season? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow for E60's Alex Smith Project 11, an exclusive look inside Washington quarterback Alex Smith's recovery from a 2018 leg injury that nearly cost him his life. Smith opens up about battling flesh-eating bacteria, limb salvage measures, and what it was like to finally throw a football again. E60's Alex Smith Project 11 tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. And by the way, before that, Alex is going to jump here on the Will Cain Show at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow. We're going to go a little long with him. We're going to have a, you know, a little longer interview. I'm really excited. I want to talk to Alex about, well, flesh-eating bacteria. And, man, this was an awful injury. That's tomorrow on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Jameis Winston's Market, next.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip-sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
I want to lay out the 2021 quarterback market and see exactly who will be lining up for Jameis Winston. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. But I also want to hear from you on this college athletics thing, like Cliff in Georgia. What's up, Cliff?
Doing well. How you doing, Will?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, just wanted to get your thoughts on something. So the payment of the players, I think it's ultimately going to be inevitable that it's going to happen. And I think some of it is taken on a plane that is the difference between a student and a student athlete. Because the student who goes to the school can be on social media, can do whatever he wants to earn however much he ever wants. So doesn't that mean if they're making the election to take those payments and take that likeness money, shouldn't they also have to qualify as same as that Joe student to go to the school? So should they have their case in ESPN too? And should the school pay for all their tuition and everything as well as do the likeness? Or if they should they have the choice to say, I want my likeness money or I want to have the equivalent of $300,000-$400,000 towards me for my education?
So, okay, Cliff, first, I appreciate the call. The tuition thing, they're not going to do an either or on that. I mean, first of all, like, if you're competing with the G League or something like that, they're offering both salary and money towards a scholarship when you go back to school. And most of these players aren't going to make enough to cover the price of a tuition anyway. It's only the big time players who are going to have enough to cover something like that. So no, it's not going to be an either or. It's going to be a both. And as far as the academic requirements are, if you're going to take on the standards of the same students, yeah, but that's kind of how it is anyway, right? You have to qualify for these schools. I mean, they make some allowances. I know they make great allowances in practice, but in policy, they make some allowances for athletes to have different grades than the rest of what's required from the student body. Here's what I think is fascinating. Who does this benefit? I mean, I think we've done this in the past in the Will Cain Show, but it's like big market teams, right? Where there are more local advertisers. Big time programs. Where you're more likely to be in the national spotlight. To make your name more famous. To make your Instagram feed more valuable. It's USC. It's Texas. It's schools who are at the top. It's going to be the rich get richer on this kind of thing. James in Wisconsin, what's up, James?
Hey, Will. Hey, I just wanted to throw out a potentially contrarian point of view here and frame this up as a potential positive. So maybe, you know, we're not talking about life-changing amounts of money when these guys get into the into college and make a little bit of cash. So maybe this is a low-stakes lesson in kind of what to do when you do get a little cash to play with, so that when they get to the pros, maybe they remember or either have a solid kind of base of knowledge to handle that movement or that cash. So, you know, instead of, you know, remembering that lesson of, hey, I blew that money in college, maybe I'm not going to do that now that I've got a little bit extra. Or they have a giant contract and they remember how they handled that $200,000 they made in college, and they've got that base there, and they're ready to kind of handle that. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, James. I would say this. Remember now, the vast majority of collegiate athletes don't go on to go pro. So the training it is for the guys who are going to get millions of dollars in their bank account is actually for a very small number of people. But it's also training for anyone ready to enter adult life and start handling things like bank accounts. So, yeah, I do think that's a potential positive. I think Nuno has this is what the working group intends to recommend as possible changes. Here we go. One, allow student athletes to make money by modeling apparel as long as it's not apparel that includes the school logos or school marks. Allow athletes to make money from advertisements. They would be allowed to identify themselves as college athletes in the advertisement, but would not be allowed to reference the school they attend or include any school marks in the advertisement. Still would benefit the big programs because they're the ones who are going to put you in the spotlight even if you're not wearing their gear in the spotlight. Prohibit athletes from marketing products that conflict with NCAA legislation, such as gambling operations or banned substances. Individual schools would also be allowed to prohibit athletes from marketing products that are not lined up with the school's values. Hey, what about this, though, Nuno? What if it's a Nike school and he gets an endorsement deal from Adidas?
Yeah,
what about that?
I would think, right, like, let's say we'll go back to Zion, right? I think Duke's a Nike school, but what if all of a sudden Adidas was like, hey, we want you? Nike, I'm assuming Duke would say, no, you can't do this. So then does
under these provisions, it doesn't look like Duke would be allowed to. That's not about school's values. That's about school business. I'll keep going. Allow athletes to hire an agent to help procure marketing opportunities, so long as that agent does not seek professional sports opportunities for the client during his or her college career. And finally, require athletes to disclose the details of all endorsement contracts to their athletic department. The working group would recommend further discussion about whether a third party should be involved in overseeing these disclosures in a way to prevent endorsement deals from becoming improper recruiting enticements. There we go. That's what I was talking about. Son of a... Did I not say that, Nuno? I said they're going to have to bring in a third party to vet these endorsements to see that they're legit and not recruiting mechanisms. And the reason I'm getting upset, Nuno, is didn't I get crushed? Well, somebody, I can't remember, a Deadspin type person. Didn't I? I always do.
There's been so much, so I'm not sure if it was for this also. Here's also another
thing. Hold on. No, we're not brushing over this. There has been so much. That's exactly an issue that they're going to have to protect against, and they recognize it, and they acknowledge the necessity to bring a third party to make sure these are true endorsement deals and not recruiting benefits. And I was a moron for saying that, or whatever I am, uncool, satanic, moronic, whatever all that stuff is.
Anti-capitalist, capitalism, right?
I don't know what I am. Think of all your ugly words and... Go ahead, Nuno.
One of the other bigger issue that's happening, and I know the NCAA is that states like California, Florida, like they're all looking to pass their own legislation to allow student athletes to get money. And based upon what the working
group, how long are we going to continue let these blue check mark media types parade around in stupid hats and pretending like they're smart? How long are we going to continue to do that?
Well, if they're the only ones on social media, I think that's where we're at.
They get to bumble around in their moronic circles high-fiving each other on stupidity. What were you saying again, Nuno? Haven't been able to move.
Do you almost just swear right there? What was that?
Yeah, I know. He's gotten close a couple of times.
I didn't. No, I'm good. I'm a picture of control here.
The NCAA is still battling with the states because some of these states feel like this isn't enough, that they need to loosen the reins so kids can actually truly make money.
Loosen it more from these recommendations?
Correct. These recommendations are even tighter than what the states have, like California, have pledged to allow athletes to make money.
I feel like these are pretty loose.
I know. These don't seem that strict to me. Well, what's so restrictive here? Just that you can't wear the school's logo and stuff?
Well, I think it's going to be whatever the school lines up saying this is okay, like this isn't. I think that's where it's going to be, recruiting's going to be headed, where it's like, do I want to go here where I can't, you know, make money off X, Y, and Z, but I can do the same thing at this other school? I'm going to go to this other school.
Okay, I don't know what you just said, but I'm upset now.
I get what you're saying, though.
But I want to do this 2021 quarterback market. I've been delaying it too long. What has Jameis put himself in position for 1 year from now? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
What does the 2021 quarterback market look like? What did Jameis Winston just put himself in position to take advantage of? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. As Jordan's fame peaked to unparalleled levels in the early 90s with consecutive NBA titles and a starring role in the Olympic Dream Team, his image as Air Jordan made him a profound cultural figure. Yet with extraordinary fame came extraordinary scrutiny, and in 93 it all came to a head with the Bulls' pursuit of a third straight title, shadowed by questions about Jordan's gambling. Episode 5 and 6 of The Last Dance premiere this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. As long as we're plugging stuff, I played sound earlier in the show, both sound about Texas head football coach Tom Herman's career to being the head coach of one of the biggest programs in the country, and his personal life, his struggles, his relationship with his father, who died of alcoholism and homeless in his 50s. That inspired, in turn, me to share some things with Tom. It's all on a big, long, one-hour-long podcast. I think it's good. I humbly think it's authentic, real conversation with one of the biggest football coaches in the country. I would encourage you to go to the Will Cain Show podcast feed, download it, check it out. And I'll appreciate it. I think you'll like it. Right before we came in, we were talking, you guys are still calling in. Everybody's still calling in and trying to fill out the Mount Rushmore of 90s It Girls. It's done. It's over. Okay. I didn't win. It was Pam Anderson, Carmen Electra, Jenny McCarthy, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I argued very strongly for Anna Nicole Smith, but Tiffany Amber Thiessen got the votes. But as we were coming in, you guys are still calling in, and somebody called in to say, what about Cindy Crawford? And I already said no supermodels. That's the rules here. But the real noteworthy thing here is Pat said, who? And Nuno and Bubba and I couldn't believe it. And he said, how do you say it, Bubba?
Crawford? Yeah, after saying who, he just kept saying with this god-awful inflection, Cindy Crawford? Cindy Crawford? I just want to make sure I'm saying it right.
No,
Cindy
I was asking Crawford? For confirmation that was her name.
Yeah, Pat. It's Cindy Crawford, Pat. She's one of the most famous people of all time.
No, she's not.
Cindy Crawford? Oh, yeah,
she was one of the most famous supermodels of all time. Pat, what year were you born?
1995.
Okay. In your time, who's the most famous supermodel? Just who do you think in your time?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to supermodels.
I mean, have you ever had a Pepsi pad? This person.
What do you mean you don't pay attention to supermodels? You just WWE and old movies and that's it? Fast Five?
I guess one of the Kardashians, probably. I don't know.
They're not supermodels. They're in this category.
Some of them are.
By the way, he also said he had no idea who Jenny McCarthy was. None. But you know Pam Anderson?
Yes, I know Pam Anderson from Baywatch.
You know Carmen Electra?
Yes, but I don't know what she did. I just know that she's Carmen Electra.
Do you know Elle McPherson?
No. I've never heard of that name in my life.
Elle McPherson?
Hey, don't you think Elle McPherson was more famous than Cindy Crawford? At least at one point, right?
I don't know.
That sounds like a made-up name.
No, she's one of the most famous supermodels ever as well. Do you know who Tyra Banks is?
Yes, I know who Tyra Banks is.
Well, how do you know her? From her TV show?
Yeah, from TV.
Her talk show? Is that what she had? Or she was on Project Runway, maybe?
Yeah, I had an older sister who was into fashion growing up. So that show, I forget what it's called. Something
That's a new game. You want to play this game tomorrow, guys? Like, what 90s super icons does Pat not have any idea who they are? He's born in 95?
Well, he already failed the 90s history quiz we gave him, and that was embarrassing.
I'm doing this tomorrow. I'm going to throw famous 90s people at Pat and see if he has any idea who it is. That's going to happen. That's happening tomorrow.
Well, I know the really famous ones. It's the
You don't know
famous.
Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, okay. She's not really famous,
clearly. Do you know Kate Moss?
I know the name. I don't know anything about her.
This is why...
It's a real shame. It's just a real
Sorry,
shame.
I don't know your old people things.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I have made the argument that I love Jameis Winston's long-term vision. He got LASIK, so he has vision. But I'm talking about his ability to give up short-term salary this next year to be the New Orleans Saints' backup quarterback. Because after going to the Harvard Graduate School of Quarterback Play, as he pointed out, I think he's going to come out of this experiment under Sean Payton a very valuable, rehabilitated football reputation and career that other teams will be willing to go in on. And I'm talking about in on as their potential, not just starter, but franchise quarterback. He's still, what, 25, 26 years old? And some team, and I think multiple teams, will say, Jameis will be the guy we're going to center this around. Now, I believe there is roughly, what is it, 7 or 8 teams that could be in the quarterback market next year. Think about this. The New Orleans Saints, for one. Drew Brees, probably a year left. The Chicago Bears, for another. Even if it is Nick Foles who beats out Mitch Trubisky, and it looks like he will, they're not picking up Trubisky's fifth-year option. I don't think Foles is a long-term answer. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Washington Redskins, I don't think you should have faith that the Dwayne Haskins project's going to totally pan out. The New England Patriots, the Indianapolis Colts, Greg Doyle of the Indy Star was on the show, and he said he thinks Rivers has 2 to 3 years. I don't think you should count on it being that long. The Carolina Panthers, the Denver Broncos, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You go on and on and on. And everybody's going to prioritize going to the draft to answer their problems. That is definitely Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields from Clemson and Ohio State. It could be, I think, the next level down is the quarterback from North Dakota State, maybe Sam Ellinger from Texas. But the point is, it'll probably be three. Three that will take three teams off that list. And that leaves you with potentially 4 teams who will be out there. And Jameis and Aaron Rodgers, if he's truly on the market a year from now, would be the most desirable options, giving you a bidding market, making Jameis's bet pay off. He'll be somebody's franchise quarterback 1 year from now.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.